Thank you so much, Amanda. I'm so glad that we had music before I preached. I promise you, that always helps. And so someone once said, a lot of good singing will make up for a lot of poor preaching. So you'll be the judge of that, won't you? Open your Bibles, if you will, please, tonight to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Wonder tonight, how's your memory? I tell people all the time, my forgetterer is working better and better all the time. My next birthday, May 15th, which should be a national holiday. The nation was blessed in 1956 when I was born in McAllister, Oklahoma. Quite a day. And surely you are impressed with all of that. This next birthday, I'll be 60. Not bad, huh? Bless him, Lord. But it's almost like I stand before you and seems like it's just went by real quick. And I stand before you, really, to do something. Be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Every preacher should be. We shouldn't preach a message, we should preach the message. And as best as I know how, this is the message the Lord wants me to preach tonight. So I know for its intended purpose tonight, it will do this for anyone who is in the room. And tonight, we're going to build a memory. Because really, what we are is a composite of our memory. Every single thing in my life that has ever happened is a memory. Up to this very moment, Amanda, your singing now is a memory. Pastor Gillett, your preaching this morning thrilled my soul. Thank you, brother, for obeying the Lord, preaching the message in Revelation, but that's a memory now. And I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, and I want to begin in verse 1. Would you stand? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt, everybody say it, remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Father, thank you tonight. May we, Lord, just take a road of remembrance tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you'll bless each in this room. And we'll pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go down memory road right quick. So, I remember an 11-year-old boy in a revival meeting in an obscure town called Chickasha, Oklahoma, home of the Chickasha Fighting Chicks. Everybody kind of likes hearing that. But I will never forget. And it's in my heart and it's in my mind and it's as fresh right here this moment as it was the night that I got saved. in a revival meeting with an old cowboy preacher by the name of W.W. Baker, preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. Everything about that night I remember. I remember standing at a pew under Holy Spirit conviction. And all the sin of an 11-year-old boy was piled up on his shoulders. And I knew that I was one heartbeat away from hell if I didn't get saved. Do you know the primary reason why I got saved? Do you want to know the reason why I got saved that night? I didn't want to go to hell. Now, there may be other reasons why you'd get saved, but that's a pretty good one. And I have the memory tonight of stepping out from where my older brothers were, because my family went to church. My mom, she took us to Bible Baptist Church. Brother Jack York was the pastor, and that night I left that pew, and I went to the center aisle, and I walked down to the front, and a fella met me at the altar. His name was George Davis. He took a Bible, opened it up to me, and showed me how I could be saved, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knelt down, a sinner on my way to hell. I'll never forget lifting my head, standing up, knowing, and have known ever since, it's in my memory, my salvation moment, my day of salvation. Is that day a memory for you? Is there a memory about your day of salvation? Can you go back through the cinema of your mind and just reflect on a day of salvation? If that day has not happened, then you're so fortunate, you're so blessed, because this is the day of salvation. The same day of salvation that I experienced as an 11-year-old boy and have the memory of it and can recall it, and by God's grace I can just rejoice because I have been born again, because I have been saved. And now I love to see people coming to Christ. I love to see people coming to Christ in Chickasha, Oklahoma. I love seeing people walk the aisle after preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to people in Chickasha, Oklahoma. I love when somebody comes forward and trusts Christ just like I did. The same common salvation that saved an 11-year-old boy can save anybody on the planet. The whole world could be saved. But we're still fishing. And we're still preaching. And we're just being obedient to the Lord where we're at. We're trying to make a hand where we're at. Now, Chickasha, Oklahoma may not be on your radar screen. Alan Knight, so he's up in Colorado Springs. Beautiful, beautiful Colorado. And Brother Alan, you'll go back and you'll preach there. You'll go fishing there, won't you? The Lord will use you there. I've only been there occasionally. But he's planted there. God has a light over there. And I can go right around the room to every single preacher that's in a particular place where God has called them and put them in that particular place. Brother Gillett, God's put you here in a strategic moment with a strategic church, with a strategic message for a people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced of one thing, Brother Gillett, you're well capable and prepared for the task that God has called you to do here at Worth Baptist Church. And brother, I'm so glad God put you in the ministry here. The future's bright. Now I'm telling you folks, we're all in this as a team effort. From Ghana, which I have been so privileged to put my feet on the soil of Ghana, and observe the work there as an operation of God is at work in that place. And I have the memory of all these blessed people that came to Christ while our team was there. And Then I was privileged to go back just this last summer and go there alone and visit Brother Steve and the work there and watch his team and just partner with them and watch God be at work. And brother, we have the memory of those nights and those moments and those people that we visited, and they become part of who we are. Memory is something God gives each of us, but those particular moments and those particular days, just like in the life of Job, you remember in the commentary as we have the opening words of Job, we have a review of some of the days. And the Bible says, and there was a day. There's been some tragic days in your life, hasn't there? I'm looking in the faces of people that can draw on a memory that maybe you don't really like to camp out there very long because it's a day that isn't pleasant to review, is it? Perhaps it's a day that you just can't, it burdens you even to even think about it today. But by the grace of God, you can, some times went by and yet it's a memory. Just like with Brother Job and Mrs. Job. Remember, that's what Moses told the children of Israel. In verse 2, it's very important God's people draw from their memory the great things that God has done. It's very important that we understand the foundation is laid through our memory. That's all we've got. Some songwriter wrote the song and it's used at funerals. Precious memories. Sacred scenes. You think about it. I've read 33 years, one church, Chickasha Bible Baptist. I've been their pastor. They're in their, can you believe they're in their fifth tribulation period with me? But I'm kind of the, I don't know how to describe it, 18,000 population and. I've been there since 1964, grew up in the church, the only church I've ever been a member of in my lifetime. And God's just allowed me ministry there, called to preach, 20 years of age, served under Brother Jesse Simon, and then Brother Gene Wilson, 6 years associate work under those two men. Got to meet the Patterson family through Brother Gene Wilson. I have a memory, rich, rich memory, Brother Mike, going to Cuernavaca. Shirley and I, we have this memory, and it began in my early Christian life and experience. And I can just bask sometimes in the memories, precious memories. Wonderful memories that flood my soul. Here we have Moses saying, I want you to do something. He says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. I want you to remember something. What can happen is you get diverted and you forget. You know, We can tease about it, but the truth of the matter is we can get to a place where we kind of forget things. Now what's dangerous is we, like the children of Israel, they obviously they were being called to remembrance because they may have taken for, you know, you can take for granted an accumulation of a lifetime of the blessings of God. You got to be careful. Because there's an investment that God makes in our life on purpose, and then that memory is to be used. We need to be reminded of how good God is to us. And how many times He's poured Himself out to us and the services that we've attended and the times of our life and our families, and they're so precious, and our times with our children and now our grandchildren, and all of these things are just, they just accumulate into multiplied blessings of God for our life and the memories we get to enjoy on this earth. Now, I don't know, the children of Israel, there is a possibility. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Just for example, you have the fact that people forget. And it's even found in Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. But look at these people. Peter is saying, "But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind and cannot see afar off." Got spiritual cataracts. "And hath" what? What's happened to these people? "And hath forgotten that he was purged." Oh my goodness. How could it be that a person would even come to a place where they're so spiritually deficient, according to this scripture, that they've actually come to a place where they just forget that they've been purged from their old sins. I mean, I don't know what terrible shape a person could get in, but that can happen, obviously. So why do you think that Moses, he urged the Hebrews to remember? Israel was at a parting of the ways when these words were spoken. A change was imminent, both of leaders and of circumstances. Moses knew that very soon he would lay down the burden that he had borne for so long, and that another would be commissioned to lead the people. Moses recognized the influence of memory, a perpetual inspiration. That's what memory is. It should inspire you. It should motivate you. It should be something that is used in your life to bring about an awareness and an urgency to build another memory. Brother Steve, I was so blessed when he refreshed, he and I, the memory of sitting in that Chinese restaurant. And who'd have thunk it? Literally, I was just off. I mean, you just picked me up. And I mean, you know, you're just wore plumb out. Flying. I mean, it just, you're just really wore out. You're not. But man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, I was ready to go. And it was just, you know how, Brother Steve, it is. You get a little bit of a, you want to see your first soul come to Christ, whoever that is. You never know. And literally, you know, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, our restaurant ministry, but Brother Bill Patterson, you and I built a memory one day with a lady in Oklahoma City. That lady responded to the gospel, and she got saved. Got to lead her to Christ. We've got that blessed memory, don't we, of a soul coming to Christ at a restaurant. You know, listen to me, a wise and prudent person, when presented the gospel, will receive it. Just mark it down. And you know what? I have noticed this. Can I say this? In a 33-year ministry at Bible Baptist Church, I have seen more people. It's overwhelming. More people receive Christ when they are presented with the truth of the gospel than reject it. Now, I mean, I say that as a statistic. I think it bears out in all ministries in this room. If a person will listen and the Holy Spirit of God is drawing that person, wooing that person, I know that it's a God thing and it's a divine appointment. I often say to people listening, it's not accidental, it's not incidental, it's providential that you and I met today. This is a God time. This is a God moment. We are heavenly ambassadors. Yes, I've had people say no. Yes, I've had people slam the door. Yes, I've had people not take time. But if a person is willing to listen, and the Holy Spirit of God is at work, a wise and prudent person will take God's offer for eternal life. There's a memory now. I can review all the ministry at Bible Baptist Church, but I'm going to share with you a recent memory. A recent memory. I'm involved in chaplaincy. I do chaplaincy. I started out with fire department chaplaincy. In 1992, we were building our building in our old location. We built a new auditorium. And I was up to here with just building a building. And we had firefighters in our church. I had the department training officer drop by. Robert Doak is his name. He dropped by. I can see him coming by in the vehicle that's supplied by the city for the fire department. And he comes by and he stops, he rolls down his window, he said, "Brother Hayes," he says, "I know you're busy, but I'd like to just ask you to consider being our department's first chaplain. We've never had a chaplain, and the guys have talked, and we wanted to extend to you the opportunity to be our department's first chaplain." He says, I'd like to ask you to pray about it." I looked him straight in the eye, I said, "Don't have to pray about it, I'll take it. I'll be your chaplain. Thank you. I'm honored." He said, no, you really. He said, "You can." I said, "Don't have to. It's ministry. It's ministry. It's a key to a private fishing hole. Hello." I'd already been working on some of them guys and planting and watering and all that. And we had already reaped some, and I didn't even have to, you know, it's just ministry. Hello. Became their department's first chaplain. I was there for four years, and 2 years in, began to be drawn to law enforcement chaplaincy. 1995, some may remember April 19th. God had prepared me, Oklahoma City bombing, and I stayed 14 days at the site. Back and forth, our church helped supply. But I was part of a CISM team, critical incident stress management, and it's a secular approach to, but I was trained in it. It's only a door open to talk to people. That's all that is. You go through that training, and I even when I went through it, I'm thinking, how am I going to use this? But because of that little certificate, it allowed me access to the Oklahoma City bombing, and I got to talk to families. See, I've got a memory right now. It's the memory of help of just being there. But folks, law enforcement chaplaincy, 1996. Both departments were in the same building. I became a law enforcement. I went through cleat training and became a reserve officer and took that training, and that opened up doors. We've had fire department personnel saved. We've had, and it opened doors for the community. And then law enforcement chaplaincy opened up a unique door there. My dad was Oklahoma Highway Patrolman. I grew up in a law enforcement home. So all of that just kind of dovetailed together, and I became, they called me the bi-chaplain there. I was fire department and police department chaplain. And then I've been able to be used at Ground Zero at New York City as a chaplain for 2 weeks. And Katrina, a friend of mine, I went down there for 1 month, helped him with the Gulfport Police Department. and helped with that situation, being a chaplain. Things like that, all my life, the memory. But then something was dropped in my lap. Locally, the chaplain for the jail, he retired, and he says, Kim, I want you to, you know, when somebody's busy, they're just busy. That's all I can say. But I've got keys to private fishing holes. And now one of them that opened up that doesn't necessarily, jail chaplaincy. Folks, what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden I found myself accessing the inmates, top floor of Grady County Courthouse. There's a jail. And that fishing hole yielded hundreds and hundreds of professions of faith over the years that I've been able to access that place. Then it expanded. I got a call. We support Oklahoma Jail Prison Ministries. George Vieira called me about a month and a half ago. He says, Kim, would you want to go to McAllister State Penitentiary and go with us to death row inmates? I said, I sure will. Thursday, tomorrow will be 3 weeks ago I went. Now let me share with you this memory. Get up early, pick up the two chaplains in Oklahoma City at the Oklahoma County Jail. We drive to McAllister, my birth city, the city I was born in. I've always thought about going to McAllister State Penitentiary. I've always thought about that because I've had such a door open to inmates at Grady County. I go there, pick them up, we go, and we go through the old part of McAllister State Penitentiary that has been condemned, but you got to go through the old part to get to the new part. And we get to an area where there are 43 death row inmates. And so three chaplains, we walk. And the way this is, there's four pods, two downstairs, two upstairs. And what you do, you go just like you'd go door knocking. We have full access to go all the way up and down, and we knocked every one of the doors. You knock the door. And my part, randomly, right? You don't know who you're... I have no idea who's behind the bars. But you literally just knock. This door of every one of the cells has a plexiglass, very thick, but you can see all the way in everything in that cell. You see the inmate, and the way that you do it, you ask, could I share with you faith in Jesus Christ? And you have to speak through the crack of the door. And then you have to listen through the crack of the door, and I've got one eye looking through the plexiglass because of where the crack of the door is. And I knocked that door. I want to give you a good report. Two men, wise and prudent men. One man that had he's on death row. He's waiting execution. 26 years old, was on drugs. Isaiah Tryon is his name. He killed his girlfriend who had his baby. He was on drugs and he killed her, stabbed her 7 times. At the bus station in Oklahoma City. Isaiah Tryon, after hearing he said, yes, I'd like to hear. And he told me that he didn't think he could be saved. And I told him, I said, well, in my study of the Bible, there was a man in the Old Testament named Moses. You'll appreciate I did that, because now I've got 5 minutes left. But see, I do that because I want to make sure I do my 35 minutes. Okay? I got 5 minutes. I knew you'd like that. That's why these devices are on these phones for preachers that don't use them. But I knocked that door and Isaiah Tryon and received Jesus Christ. But then I want to tell you about another one that I knocked. By the way, two men were saved. Sir, could I talk to you about faith in Jesus Christ? And I was looking through there and I looked at him. No, I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't believe in him. He turned around, hair about to the middle of his back. He walked away from me. His name was Kevin Underwood. April 17th, 2006, Kevin lured into his apartment in Purcell, Oklahoma, a 10-year-old girl. Kevin did unspeakable things to this precious little girl. He mutilated her body. He beat her in the head. This is how he killed her. He beat her in the head with a butcher block off his cabinet. She lay unconscious because of that, and then he suffocated her. And then he mutilated her body. And his intention was, according to his own testimony, was to barbecue and eat her. I knocked on his door. That was his response to me. Now, folks, when he turned away from me and walked away from me, see, I'm human. I've got two granddaughters, 10-year-old. One turned 11 just this last week. But all I could think about when he turned away from me, I just can't believe God would send me to your door. Brother Mike, I'm telling you, as I watched him turn away, I literally in my heart, in my mind, the Holy Spirit knows this, I said, well, go to hell then. In my heart. Because I don't believe that gent needs to be sucking air and breathing air on this earth. He don't deserve it. But you see, that's in my mind, in my flesh. And then it began to dawn on me that if God could send me an ambassador to a man that I, in my estimation, does not even deserve the opportunity to be saved. That's in that wells up in my heart and in my mind. And after accumulation of memory in my life and my heart, there's a memory now of me knocking that door. And one day, by the way, I'm scheduled to go back every first Thursday of every month this year, if my schedule allows it. And I may go back, you see. And I may be the chaplain that walks by and knocks again. You say, do you want to? It doesn't matter about my want to. Will you share Christ with him if he says yes? Absolutely. Because I realize that that 11-year-old boy with that memory of going forward, you say, his sin is much worse than my sin. I'm pretty sure that all of us with our accumulated sin, can you imagine right now the accumulation of a lifetime of everybody's sin in this one room? And Jesus Christ paid for every sin on the cross of every person on the planet, even Kevin Underwood. Mind-boggling, isn't it? I want you to remember something he said to the children of Israel. I want you to remember something. There's a reason why we've got memory. There's a reason why we have this moment in time together. Could you bow your heads just for a moment? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for allowing us the privilege of just being your preacher boy tonight. And I'm thanking you now that, Lord, you allow us even to go to those that we think may not deserve. But, Lord, I know one day, Lord, the potential of the grace of God is even sufficient for a Kevin Underwood. I don't know how you could love, but Lord, you loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I know tonight you're at work at all times and all places in all hearts. But Lord, those that reject you would one day, if hardening of the heart and the refusal of the gospel, even that cell visit will be a memory that will be resurrected in judgment against that man, that you were willing to send someone to give them the gospel and they rejected. Lord, it would be our prayer that every person trusts you and will be saved. We'll pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.